Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. And it's always an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God. And it's no different tonight. I thank God for every chance we have to come together to explore the Word of God. And I don't think that it's an accident, because everything that is happening in our lives, through our lives, is all done by the power of God. God is truly in control, and God will be done in our lives and the lives of others and everything that he wants done. I want to thank each and every one of you for calling in tonight, and we're going to explore the Word of God together. The lesson tonight is coming from the book of Ephesians, and the title of the lesson is that I want you to understand is that the good works follow salvation. It doesn't precede it. In other words, the good works that we should be doing came once we were saved. You're not doing the works to become saved. And we're going to expound on that, and we're coming from the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 10. And I'm going to play a song now, and when we come back, we're going to explore the Word of God together. And I just hope that everyone had a wonderful week and that the Word of God was your guide in the decision-making you was doing, how you treated one another, how you, you know, respond to each other, what you decide to do for someone. Because the Word of God is our moral compass, and we should use it in all of our dealings. And I'm going to play this song right now, and it's God is an Awesome God, because it's so true. And we're going to come back once the song is completed.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. Great, and he's greatly to be praised. The worship psalm, it says this: our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Gives
strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign.
Come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Come on, if you know he's
awesome,
say. Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
My God. giver of salvation. By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice.
I think we all can contest that God is truly an awesome God. You know, if you look back over your life and really think things over, you could see how God has delivered you, hallelujah, over and over and over again from dangers seen and unseen. God is such an awesome God, and he don't have to go into counsel with anyone else when he decides what he wants to do for you. But God has already made the decisions for life, all of our lives and all of the living here on earth and all the way through eternity before the foundation of the world. God is not making it up as he goes. So all we have to do is trust God's plan and realize that God does not make mistakes and that God has your best interest at heart, and God wants you to reach an intended purpose that he has designed for you before the foundation of the world. Well, this is the first Wednesday in November, and we know what we do on Block Talk Radio, Words of Wisdom. The first Wednesday of the month, we pray for those on the prayer line list. And I'm asking that Sister Pam, if you press the one button, which she has, thank you, Sister Pam, we're going to allow Sister Pam to read the list. And if you have anyone you want to go on the prayer list, you could add it. You know, you could press the one button and we could add them on, because we do know that prayers changes things. And I hope each and every one of you decide to pray for the prayer list that we have, and pray for one another, and pray for our Wednesday night Bible study. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Good evening, everybody. Like Sister Diane said, if anybody got someone they'd like to be added to the prayer list, please, please do not hesitate to let us know. Esther Lucas, Jim and Kathy Hartman, Diane, Dustin, and Derek McBride, Mary Hodges, Lance Brown, the Martin family, Tammy Ditto, Berline Garrett, Jacqueline Nicholas, Garrett Olive, Maddie Lala and family, Devonda Caples, Sharon, Maisha Bryan, Emma Carr and family, and Samantha Merkendale. Lord, we give thanks tonight to you for life. Thanking you for another Wednesday night Bible study. Thanking you for our sister in Christ and our teacher, Minister Diane. Thanking for all that you have done and all that you are doing and all that you're still to do. Lord, you are deserving of all glory, all the honor and praise. May our hearts always be filled with thanksgiving. You are worthy of all praise. You are holy, Lord. Help us to praise you freely and honestly. We rejoice in your holiness, knowing you are the same yesterday, today, and always. You are the Alpha and Omega, the Prince of Peace, King of Kings, the Holy One, the Great I Am, Redeemer, Wonderful Counselor, the Messiah, Everlasting Father, Son of the Most High. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for loving us. We can't do without you. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Christ Jesus' name, amen, and thank God.
I want to thank you, Sister Pam, for calling out those in need of prayer. You know, it's a beautiful thing to do something for somebody when you're not looking for nothing in return. And Sister Pam labor over that list weekly and monthly, and she prayed for those people. And I'm asking that all of us pray for the prayer line. Thank you, Sister Pam, so much. And thank you for being ready to do the job that you have taken in your hand. God honors that, and I say thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, we said a little bit earlier that the lesson title is Good Works Follows Salvation. It doesn't precede it. We're coming from Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 10. So I'm going to give a little background tonight on salvation, and then we're going to go into the lesson. You see, salvation, many people are looking for a step to salvation. I believe there are steps to be saved, not one thing, but steps, and more things is required once you do it, and then you're not finished, and you're trying to be saved, and you hope to be saved, and you slip up a little bit, and then you think you're not saved again. But people like the idea of an instructional manual with step by step, and if you follow it, you'll receive salvation. You know, an example of this is the Islam. You see, they have a five pillars that they figure you must do and you must become and you must be. According to Islam, if the five pillars all be, salvation will be granted. You know that the nation of Islam has never accepted Jesus Christ as God's only begotten Son, who God sent to be our Savior. You see, so they are still making up ways or have accepted ways to be saved. You know, but we in the Christian community believe that Christ is the only way. Jesus said the only way to get to the Father is to come through me. God said the only way to get to the Father is go through his Son. Now, the Muslims love God, but they didn't accept his Son. You see, various Christian doctrines add all kind of things to make up these steps that they believe is necessary to be saved. You see, some denominations add baptism. And I want you to know that, yes, we should be baptized as Jesus was baptized. So being baptized is a thing and a good thing to do, but it's not predicated if you do it for your salvation. Hallelujah. And then you see, some believe in public confession. Some of them believe, like Jehovah your Witness, if you're not standing on the corner confessing God for salvation, that you can't be seen, you can't be saved. Or if they don't have public confession, like when a Catholics would go to the priest who really couldn't forgive their sins. And then there are some who believe that if you don't turn completely from your sins, you won't be saved. But we know that we can't become total sinless. Jesus was the only one. But when we are asked, we should be sin a little less each day. You know, we can't be sinless, but we can sin less daily. And then there are some who believe if you don't speak in tongues that you can't be saved. Now, we know that speaking in tongues is a way of edification, and it is a good thing, but it is not that you have to speak in tongues to be saved. See, it's a gift, but it's not a requirement for salvation. However, these are steps for salvation. They are, you know, these things that I just mentioned, they're not really steps to achieve salvation. They are only things that should result once you receive salvation. So these things don't come before salvation. You see, because of our sin, we cannot, in any sense, earn salvation, no matter how good you are, no matter how many times you go to church a week, no matter how many times you get on your knees and pray, no matter how much money you give, no matter how loving you are, we cannot earn salvation. You see, and if they had 1,000 steps that we had to follow, or some denomination or some people always adding to what you must do to be saved, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees done in the days of old, you know, they kept adding to it, and they kept adding to it, and they kept adding to it. But if you did 1,000 steps, you still couldn't earn your salvation. That is why Jesus had to die in our place. We are absolutely incapable of paying our own sin debt to God, no matter how many steps we do, or cleansing ourselves from sin. You can't clean yourself up. That's why the Bible say, come as you are. And it wasn't talking about the clothes that you wear. It was whatever state that you're in. Your might was tricking last night, but come to me. Your might was in the dope house last night, come to me. Your might was committing adultery last night, you come to me too. He said, I'm not asking that you get cleaned up and you get fixed up to come to me, because I'm not going to ask you to do it because I know you can't. He said, but come to me just as you are and let me start working in and through you to make the change in your life. Only God could accomplish our salvation, and so he did. You see, God himself completed the steps, and thereby offered salvation to everyone who will receive it from him. See, God took the steps. You know, there was many steps. You know, it had to be a man. He had to be without spots and blemishes. He had to have the blood. He had to be from the line of David. You know, all of these things, God worked all of that out together for our good. And he granted us salvation. All of our sins are forgiven. Remember, I say it all. And Romans 8:1 wants us to know that there is no more condemnation to them that are in Christ. See, God is no longer condemning us, but we sat down and condemned ourselves over and over and over again in life. If God can't forgive me for this, God can't forgive me for that. I did this, I did that. When you accepted God, the blood of Jesus washed you white as snow. And many times people tell me, Sister Diane, that's a doctrine that's too easy. Well, God said he wanted to make our burdens light. God knew the struggles the people had in the Old Testament, who kept sacrificing year after year after year after year for to try to take away their sins, which the blood of bulls and goats could never take away the sins. It could only cover it. And God said, that's temporary. But I got something for you, and his name is Jesus. And he's my only begotten son. And whosoever believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God said, I got you. I'm going to do for you what you couldn't do for yourself. Trust me. We got to stop sweating the small stuff. Because God already did the impossible. And so many people is walking around trying to do the impossible, to be this and to be that and to do this and to do that, as if they could create salvation. You see, only God could accomplish our salvation. And he did it. He did it. And he did it once and for all. And he did it for everybody who would accept him. And he did it because he loves us more than we could comprehend, more than we could ever imagine. And he created us uniquely. If you love God and trust him and what he has done and is doing in your life right now and promise to do, then and then only will you receive the peace. Yes, it's going to be trials. It's going to be tribulation. It's going to be adversities. But it's never what comes your way. It's who you go through it with. And many times our struggle, we think we are really, really, really having such a hard time and we are going through, but God is only bringing us to wherever he wants us to be. And if you know the word of God and apply the word of God to your situations, I guarantee you they're going to be missed in the middle of that storm. And it's going to be joy. And I ain't talking about that thing happy, because happy only happens when something you want to happen. But joy staying strong in the midst of the storm. Thank God for joy. And I want you to know salvation is not just for eternity. Salvation, God is working salvation for you daily in your lives. Salvation means to be rescued. It means to be saved from. You see, salvation is what protects us from danger seen and unseen in our lives right now. You see, salvation is where God picks us up, turns us around, and plants our feet on solid ground. Salvation is when we feel all hope is gone, all hope is gone, and we hear a little voice in our spirit that telling you everything is going to be all right. That's the work of salvation here on earth. God got you here, and he promised to have you there. And that's our background tonight for salvation. And I pray you have your Bibles. We're going to be in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, and let us look at that. I'm starting with verse 1 in the second chapter. I pray that all you guys had a chance to read the printed text that was sent out to you. Because when we come together on Wednesday, I want you to be have an idea where we're going. And even if you don't understand it, I pray that the Bible study clear it up. And if it don't, and even before we come together on Wednesday night, if you took time and read the scriptures and you want to ask a question about them, you can always call the prayer line, 504-289-9501. And I'm going to read the first verse all the way through the fifth verse. And the scripture reads as follows. And you have he quickened, who were dead in your trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Y'all know that the prince of the air, the power of the prince of the air is Satan. And then that the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, Satan who worked in disobedience. And the scripture in verse 1 is telling that he quickened us. Quickened us made me made alive. You see, in verse 3 said, among whom also we all had our conversations. That means the way you live. In times past, in the lust of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. And by nature, we were children of wrath because we took on the sin nature of Adam's. And because of sin, we was all destined to die, which was the wrath of God. That's why they say children of wrath, even as others. In verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace, we are saved. And verse 6 says, and has raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. That should be enough to make you shout. You see, this verse is letting us know that God has quickened us. Quickens mean to be made alive, something that was dead. You see, before our quickening by God, we were as dead men walking. We walked mean we lived and conducted ourselves by rules of the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of our flesh and leaning to our own understanding, all being influenced by Satan. You see, before you was being influenced by God, you was influenced by Satan. Everyone was children of wrath, and God's wrath was divine punishment for sin. God said he can't let sin go. He can't overlook sin. But this scripture is telling us how God came and quickened us. Glory be to God. And verse 4 says, well, we did 4, but the scripture is letting us know that God's mercy and grace is making provisions for our salvation, which he did it through Christ. And the scripture says, but God. Hallelujah. The scripture says, but God. And God has, you know, talked about in here, he was just letting us know what he have in store for us and what he wants us to have. And what he wants us to do. We have to be real careful because God is always trying to tell us something. You see, in verse 5, he say, even when we were dead in sin, he quickened us together with Jesus. By the grace we are saved, and has raised us together and made us sit with high place in high places with Jesus. What a wonderful God we serve. You see, these verses focus on God and his mercy and his grace in making provisions for man. When we say, but God, it is a beacon of life and hope in any area of despair. You know, sometimes you may not have money, but because you're being led by God and you trust God, you could say, but God. And you begin to feel all right. You believe there's going to be a way made out of no way. You know, the doctor may come and say, you won't make it. But in your spirit, you could say, but God. They have never told you in your lifetime that you'll be anything. And if you just understand when you could say those positive words, but God. Hallelujah. It makes all of the difference in the world. Because you see, the scriptures say, but God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, but God. Have you ever said, but God, to a situation? You know, and I want to tell you tonight, they say, some people will tell you, you see, people are easy to point a finger. You know, they'll point a finger at you for what you're doing and think what they're doing is not as bad as what you're doing. And if, as I always say, do not line yourself up with somebody else. You know, plenty of people will say, I'm not as bad as her. I don't do the things she do. I used to do that, but I don't do it no more. Or you might say you never did it, did what she's doing, but you done did something. You see, but you got to realize sometimes people will tell you, especially in our, in our society where there's homosexuality, many times even in the Christian church, they badger homosexuality all the way down, and they tell them that they're going to, it's abomination against God, and they're going to lift their eyes up in hell. But the word of God tells us that sin is sin. No big sin, no little sin. Yes, there's a sin of omission and a sin of commission, but ain't no sin bigger than the other sin. And when you point one finger, you got 4 pointing back. But sometimes people will tell you God can't forgive you for a certain sin. But God says that's not so. The only sin that cannot be forgiven is the sin of blasphemy. That's when you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. You have to look at the plan of salvation and see where God decided to send his son. And when his son was on earth and his son had accomplished God's goal here and went back to sit with his father in heaven, the Holy Ghost was dispersed. And everyone who accepts Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. Well, when the Holy Ghost came knocking on your door, you know, you could be sitting in a congregation and the word of God could be going forth. And something is telling you with everything in your body, you need to get up. Something is reminding you that something is missing. Something is telling you that there have to be more to life than it is. Or you just want help that you feel you're not getting. You see, that's the Holy Ghost coming to deliver the summon that God gave the Holy Ghost to deliver to you. But you see, the Holy Ghost now got the summon from God. He's coming with the invitation. He's knocking at the doors of your heart. He's talking to you in your mind. And you either have to accept or reject. Now, if you reject what the Holy Ghost is trying to give you, a free gift of life, salvation, then salvation only comes from accepting Jesus Christ. So if you don't accept the invitation that the Holy Ghost has given you, then Jesus is not your Savior. And for those who think whatever sin they may have committed, that they feel is the worst thing in the world, that God can't forgive you. That's not right. God said all sins. You see, no matter what Satan or man has to say, we can always say but God. And once we say that, what we are really testifying to is that we will believe the report of the Lord while holding on to the confession of our faith. You see, the condition of man in sin is not hopeless or terminal, because God, who loves us, has come to rescue us through his provisions of mercy and grace. You know, take a look at this. Mercy is when God is holding back the punishment you deserve. So you say, how could God forgive me? It's all because of mercy. Thank God for mercy. Mercy holds back all of the punishment you deserve. And when mercy has done what it needed to do, grace shows up. And then grace is giving us all the things we don't deserve. Mercy holding, grace holding back the punishment we do deserve, and grace giving us everything we don't deserve. What a mighty God we serve. You see, on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." When Jesus said, "It is finished," it means to bring to an end. It is accomplished. It is complete. Or it is finished, and he's saying, I'm paying it in full. You see, and even though Jesus, by the will of the Father, has given us a way for all of our sins to be forgiven, and I'm often told that's too easy. But I want to tell you this. Jesus took away the sins of the world. He said, but the consequences belong to you. You have to realize things, God cannot overlook sin. And things done in the flesh got to be paid by things in the flesh. Because you see, your sin ain't going through eternity if you're saved, because there will be no flesh there. All sins is done in the flesh. Your spirit is not sinning. Your soul is not sinning. It's the desires of the flesh. And Jesus said it was finished, and he went sat at the right hand for the Father. And the scripture tells us about, and has raised us up together and make us to sit together in heavenly places with Jesus. Jesus wants you to know that when he died and he was buried and he resurrected in 3 days and he stayed on earth showing himself for so many days, and then he ascended up to be with the Father. And we know that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for our behalf. When Jesus did that, he became the high priest, our high priest, because you see, a priest was needed to make the sacrifice. God respected the things in the old as well. Come on now. But Jesus became our high priest. And he's sitting with the Father. And Jesus said when he come back with the rapture and he takes us up, he's going to bring us to the Father and set us at his feet. So when this scripture is talking about a place for us in heaven, it's already there waiting for you. Because of the fact that once saved is always saved, God don't have to not have a seat for you because he don't know what you're going to do. Glory be to God. You have an assigned seat in heaven with the Father. That is so amazing. And if we look at our last scriptures, starting at 7, 8, 9, and 10, they say that in ages to come, he might show the excellent riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ. For by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. Y'all, stop trying to work to be saved. You can't make it like that. 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I'm going to tell you something about God when I just read this scripture. God has designed it that no one could go around talking about what they did in the plan of salvation. You know why? Because he wants the glory. And because he wants total glory, he knew he couldn't leave any spaces in that where a man could say, oh, because I did this, or because I did that, or because who I am, and I'm, you know, educated, and I have a lot of money, and there is no space. No man, I don't care what you did, can boast. Paul in the Bible was the most learned man in the Word of God. And he said he couldn't say that he had even apprehended. He wrote 13 books in the Bible, 13 letters, epistles. And he said, I still need to learn each day. You see, but God has fixed it where no man can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, these verses focus on the purpose of salvation, which we were ordained through Christ Jesus by him and him alone, not anything we did ourselves. You see, this scripture is letting us know that the best is yet to come. I want to ask you tonight, do you believe that? And there's another scripture say that your latter will be better than your beginning. And if you think you lived your best life without Christ, try him for yourself. And it's like it'll blow your mind. It is so awesome and so powerful. But you got to believe it to achieve it. You see, because the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, they say, eyes have not seen, and ears have not heard, nor have it entered into the hearts of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And I just could ask you tonight, do you love him? You know, the scripture went on to say, we are his workmanship, his creation in Christ unto do good works. So this is letting you know why God created us. You see, it's amazing that God ordained that we should walk in them. That's what the scripture says, that we should walk in what God is doing. We became Christians through God, unmerited grace, not as a result of an effort, ability, intelligence, a choice, or even an act of service on our part. Remember, we're not doing good to be saved. We are doing good because we are saved. And the title of the lesson, Good Works Follow Salvation, it doesn't precede it. Remember this, you did not go looking for God. You was doing what you wanted to do, when you wanted to do it, how you wanted to do it, and why you wanted to do it. But God came looking for you. Let's take a look at how God chooses. And we can know this fact is real when the scriptures say even while you were in sin, God saved the sinful people. And things like that. God loves everybody. You see, when God chose Matthews was an unfair tax collector, sitting at a tax booth, cheating the people, and God came up and called him. See, you ain't got to get cleaned up for God to call you. And remember what I said earlier, that it's all ordained before the foundation of the world. Not that God chose Matthews just because he chose Matthews. But you see, with God being omniscient, God knows everything all the way through eternity. He knew who he could use. He knew who would accept him. He knew who would do his service. He knew who would answer his call. Hallelujah. And he chose Matthews. You see, and then God chose Peter. Peter, as most people say, was arrogant. He had a filthy mouth. And he was just a fisherman. And God said, come and work with me, and I'll make you fishermen of men. Hallelujah. You see, David, who became king, was in the field tending his sheep, minding his own business. And God sent Samuel there. And after everybody in the house was tested for the anointing, nobody, the oil would not flow. And Samuel had to tell Jesse, they got to be somebody else. You see, sometimes you think you got to push yourself all up to get what you think you deserve. David was in the field tending the sheep, as I said, minding his business. All of the men that you would think that would be the one was in the house. And the oil was poured on each and every one of them. And Samuel, the prophet, knew that none of these was the one. And he told him, he said, you got to have somebody else. And he said, I have a little scrabbly son out there in the field tending to the sheep. He don't look like much. He don't smell good. He's rough. And the man of God said, go get him. See, what God has for you is for you. Prime example. You see, when God chose Moses, Moses was on the run because he was a fugitive running because of he had murdered someone. And God found him and said, I have a mission for you. I want you to go to the king and tell him, let my people go. God has something for you to do. And it may be something only you can do. But God wants to know, can he use you? God needs to know that I've saved you and I'm working in you to produce what I want from you. Now, check that out, y'all. He didn't just save us and told us to figure out how to do it. Everything that God wants from you, he has already given you. If God wants you to sing, he didn't already gave you the voice. You didn't want to sing. You didn't want to sing for God and didn't have a voice. If God wants you to be in service as a singer, he hadn't already gave you the voice. Come on, y'all. Wherever God guides and wants you to do for him, he's already made the provisions. What a mighty God we serve. You see, when God called Moses, Moses said, oh, no, I'm not the one. He gave God many excuses. I'm list tongue. You know, I don't speak elegant. You know, how many people is turning back because they say they don't have any education? I can't do it well enough. You just start doing it. And in the beginning, it may not be as well as you hope for. But if you keep showing up for God, God's going to keep showing up for you. Stop making excuses for what God wants you to do. And then all of the rewards that come with it is for you. So how could you lose with what God asks you to use? He says, study the word. If you study the word, you know the moral compass. God don't need to study the word. He inspires 40 men to write the word. It's for you. You see, God has a master plan that was formulated before the foundation of the world. You know, just like God told Jeremiah, I know you. Before I formed you in the womb of your mother, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you to be a prophet for the nations. But that's what God is telling us. Each one of us are made unique. And each one of us has an assignment from God. And God is constantly working in and through you to help you to see what he wants of you. And it's up to you to say, just surrender. God, here am I, use me. God has a master plan for all of our lives. You see, and God uses everything he created. And one thing, you know, I was asked the question, why, since we got saved, why didn't God just take us to heaven? One of the reasons is because here on earth is our training room. You know, they say the whole world is a stage and everybody is playing a part. The world here and now is where God can see what we're going to do, what he gave us to do or asked of us to do or have equipped us to do while we have a free will. See, we have a free will here. It's not going to be like that in eternity because they're not going to be in his sin. The other reason is everything in the Bible points to us taking on the image of his son, Jesus Christ, so that when we get on the other side, we're going to look like him. It was always God's desire for us to take on the image of his son, take on the image of God. Don't you know in Genesis when it started off, God said, let's make them in our image. And So God is allowing us to be on earth after we saved because he wants to see what we're going to work, what we're going to do and work with what he has given us. He's trying to develop to take on the image more and more daily of his son. And he created us while we have a free will to see if we're going to give him glory, honor, and praise that he deserves as our maker. We have to remember, and everybody should ask themselves the question, I'm saved, now what? Yes, we should study to show ourselves approved so that we may know God and know what he's asking us to do. But I'm going to give it to you real simple. Just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And don't forget to let your light so shine that men may see your good works and give God the glory that he expects. Because, see, God got something for everybody. God uses everybody. Rahab in the Bible was a prostitute sitting on the wall of Jericho. And God used her to save the Israelites that came over, the Israelite spies. And Rahab became Jesus' great-great-grandmother. God can use anybody, and God is going to use everything that he created for his glory, and that includes you. And tonight I'm just asking that each and every one of us strive to be a positive influence for others to see how God is working in and through your life. Be an example. Let somebody look at you and say, I want some of that. Because you know the problem that we have in the churches is that people on the outside don't feel it's necessary to come in the inside because they say the people in the inside is worse than the people outside. But can you make a difference? Can you let your light so shine that God is working in and through you? That's our lesson for tonight. And if anyone have any questions or concerns, you could press the one button at this time. If anybody want to give encouragement, you want to speak anything about the lesson, you want to talk about how God is using you, how God has saved you, how God is delivering you daily, you can press the one button. Well, that's our program for tonight. If anyone would like to pray or do a benediction or leave us out, you could press the one button at this time. And I forgot to tell you guys, next Wednesday I will be out of town. So we're not going to have Bible study on Wednesday night, but we'll resume the Wednesday after that. But while I'm not on the air, I will be praying for you guys. And hope that you pray for me. Would anyone like to pray or do a benediction? You could press the one button on your phone. I'm going to ask Sister Pam. Sister Pam.
Yes.
Hello.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
All right. We're going to just do a benediction after having a word that went forth like that. I know it's important. And St. Peter is always asking us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, we should grow in grace, because then and only then, when then and only then can we please our Father. So with all of that being said, I have to tell you good night for tonight. I'm sorry I won't be able to be with you all next week, but the week after that, I'll definitely be back if God says the same. So you be blessed, and so will I. And until we meet again, I pray that God be with you. Amen, and good night.